welcome to the second episode of Let's Talk with Dysfunctional. I am your host, Jesus Figueroa, at Dysfunctional of Dysfunctional.com. And today I am joined by blogger, ex-radio DJ, club promoter, and father, Mike the Movie Guy of iWatchMike.com. How's it going, Mike?
What's up, Jesus? It is good to hear your sexy voice. What's been going on?
Not much. Just trying to, you know, get by during this pandemic time.
How's
it going for you?
I'm doing the pandemic thing. We've been on, I'm here in Houston, for those of you who don't know. And I've been, quarantined now for 66 days. I think it should be 65, 66 with my two boys and the wifey. And I think out of these 64 days, I've walked into two stores. I'm one of those guys that's, I'm taking it serious. I'm not trying to have any, contaminations for my family. So yeah. What about yourself? Are you going out? Or I see the pictures in Los Angeles. I see the videos. People are partying like it's 1999. Are you one of those guys?
I am not. I'm actually at home as you know, I have two nephews who I'm very close to, and I try to stay with as much as possible. Plus, I have two parents who are in their 70s, and my brother has lupus, which is an autoimmune disorder. So I really have to be taking care of them and trying to help out as much as I possibly can.
So with all that going on, when we were in regular, normal life, what was the difference in taking care of the – I mean, obviously right now in quarantine, it seems like you are the head of household. You're taking care of everything and anything. What's the difference from now in pandemic than – was it a big jump for you or what?
It was a huge jump because I was going out trying to, you know – enjoy life as much as possible while going to screenings and premieres and all this stuff. And now, even though I want to be doing stuff, I can't. I need to be at home with the kids, helping them even more in their schoolwork. It's difficult for kids in schoolwork. And if you listen to my first podcast, I kind of gave some tips on what to do with your kids and how to help them in their schooling at home.
Right.
But now it's different. I mean, now I have to be here and kind of be on top of them because their stress level is up, and I'm trying to help them get as much of their schoolwork done as possible, even though, you know, like, it's not it, they don't have a place to go where they can just get away from schoolwork anymore. They're at home
right
now. You know, school is home and home is school, and it's difficult for them and for me as well. I mean, I don't want to stress them out, so we've been doing a lot of live streaming video games, which we play a lot. If you go to twitch.tv/dysfunctional, you could check out all our gaming. We try to do at least one stream a day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you're dealing with your kids, but I see a lot of your posts, and you guys seem to be having fun during this time of pandemic.
Well, you know, my two boys are 5, soon to be 6, and 2.5, soon to be 3, and they were going to The Maddox, the 5-year-old, was going to a pre-K, and then, of course, Jax, he was going to one of those, the same school, but it was like a Mother's Day, Mommy's Day kind of pre-K thing. I think the two-and-a-half-year-old, you know, they sing, they eat, they play outside, and they learn and sing songs and the alphabet, and they color, and they do activities, and they were doing that, and then Maddox was doing, like, serious stuff, like actual schoolwork and playing and all that stuff. And so, coming here now, it's been kind of like a vacation for them, kind of, sort of, but it's not it's fun, but then they miss going over to their friend's house. They especially miss going to the park, because anybody that follows me online, and you know, we are always outside, you know, and, so, and we continue to be in the backyard, the front yard, riding the bikes, and trying to take him to certain parks here where there are more bike running trails where they can kind of exert some of their energy. But they don't understand especially my 2.5-year-old doesn't really get the whole, why can't we go to the playground and swing and stuff like that. So, I mean, this whole 65 days, 66 days of coronavirus, I've been drilling it in their head. Almost to the point where it's like, It's like everybody's contaminated. I think the only way I could get through their heads is like, don't get close to them. Zombies. You know, that's how I was doing it with these guys and continue to do it. They're picking it up slowly. But yeah, it is challenging.
Yeah, one of the craziest things is the fact that we have control over how much they know, and trying not to overwhelm them is very difficult. I know my nephews hear what the grown-ups are talking about, and they comprehend a lot of what's happening, and I don't think we get as how much it's impacting them. And I know the little one has anxiety, and he gets very worried when anybody has to go out, so trying to keep him from overthinking stuff is difficult. So we kind of control what he gets to hear and try to not overwhelm him with information.
Right. Well, then that's, yeah, I stopped. I mean, I think the second day when the news started with the whole covering of the pandemic, it was just so negative. And I personally felt it was a very scare, you know, and I know how serious it is. But it's the news really amplified it. And I told my wife, I was like, I'm stopping watching the news. Like, you know, it's a 50-50 chance the weather people get the stuff right anyway. So I'll take my chances with radar on my phone. But I think recently my wife started kind of watching the news in the morning, but I stopped. Like it was just so just negative, 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 negative. And so during all this, I've had to, for my personal feels, I had to kind of find stuff on the internet. You know, of course, I'm sure you're familiar with, what's his name? John Krasinski. What is that he started on YouTube and the whole positive thing that he's been doing, the little news shows? Have you been watching that?
I haven't. I'm mostly just getting my news from CNN and anything positive that I get in my email. I've been posting a lot of, like, health organizations that are out there that are trying to, like you said, keep positivity. I've also been covering it through more of a mental health, because I know even though a lot of people have been getting sick and have been diagnosed with COVID-19, the people who haven't are struggling mentally. And as I said in the last podcast, even though you are not sick, you are still being affected. And
oh, for sure, for sure.
Tell me more about this.
Dude, you gotta go on Facebook.com, go to John Krasinski from The Office, and he's got a show. He started it. I think they're already, look, at May 17th, I think we saved the best for the last episode, 8. And the go to Some Good News on Facebook. That's and on Instagram, and go on there. And I think his first episode he did from his house, he had Steve Carell on from The Office. I mean, if you're looking for some positive, good stuff, which I cannot believe you're not watching any of these, Some Good News on Facebook. And then I think, what, do you follow Tank on Instagram?
No.
What is going on with you? Let me see if I can find him real quick.
I've stayed off of social media as much as possible because of all these conspiracy theories.
You read those. That's all you. I mean, no. Go to look up Tank Good News on Instagram, and there's a guy named Tank Sinatra, Tank.Sinatra, and he does memes. That's what he jokingly started off doing memes. He was on Ellen. That's how I know about him. And he started off just kind of being funny on memes, and then got really good. And now he's getting seriously paid for all these memes that he does. And then he decided that there was so much negativity online that he started something called Tank Good News on Instagram, and he shares nothing but positive stories. So I don't know if you noticed on my Instagram some of the stuff that I kind of reshared on my stories. I try to keep all the good vibes out there instead of all this crappy vibes we got out there right now.
Is he the guy that Bernie Sanders was using for the memes? They paid him like a hell of a lot of money to do memes.
Possibly. I mean, I think he's from the East Coast. He's a big dude, kind of muscular, ball headed. I don't know if he was a firefighter, a police officer, or something. But I saw him on Ellen. But probably so. Probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It's been interesting because memes have taken over news.
Oh, for sure. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
When it comes the news, even though I watch a lot of it on YouTube, and that's how I get my news. I try not to watch too much TV because it's just crazy what you see on the news now. But
right,
I'm in and out of it. I take like maybe 4 days out of the week to watch the news, and then 3 days to just decompress from everything that's going on. It's taken a toll on me mentally for sure.
Well, I know that you've always been, how do I put it? You've always held on to the force. Let's just call it the force. Yeah. And I can only imagine. I think you and I talk. I think we text more than we talk. But this stuff. You've always been kind of, I don't want to say sensitive in a girly way, but sensitive like in a paranormal way is what I want to say. Yeah. That's what it is. You're sensitive to like. Everything, the vibes around you definitely affect you. And there's a lot of negative crap out there. But I could imagine you kind of really watching and reading some of this crap and then it really bugging you. And, you know.
It does, and it's kept me up at night for a long time.
I just think, I don't know. I mean, I know it's kind of cliche to say, think of the positive stuff, but no, now that I know, I know I'm going to start sending you even more positive crap your way, where you're going to be like, Jesus Christ, Mike, you're like Mr. Rogers. But, you need it. You need it. And that's why I always try to show my wife and other people. That's why I try to share it. There's so much negativity. It's always death, and scare. And I think the first couple of weeks of all this, I mean, some of their scare tactics and their titles of their posts were just over the top, you know, crap. And then a lot of people didn't know what was going on. But of course, everybody supposedly had serious facts of what was going on. And it just scared people. You know, I mean, I still don't understand why people were buying toilet paper when all this shit started. Why the frenzy of toilet paper?
It's what runs out the quickest, I think. I think that's what
people are. Yeah, no, for sure.
But why the craze? I just don't get it. Like, I don't get it.
We weren't prepared. That's what happened. I think that's what we need to take away from all this. Even when the vaccine comes out and there's treatment, we need to remember we weren't prepared and we need to get prepared.
I agree. Hopefully. I mean, because I've been telling my wife what's going to suck is come November, December, January, when flu season and cold season comes around, this crap is going to come back and it's going to suck because it has the same kind of symptoms as influenza and the cold and the flu, which, you know, people are going to have to, you know, we're going to have to go get checked for that stuff, which is going to suck.
Definitely. Another thing that these symptoms mimic are anxiety symptoms. If you have anxiety and you're worrying about this, you will develop fever-like symptoms, which it's called, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's a psychosomatic thing where your body starts feeling like it's warm and all these, you know, you start sweating, but you're not warm.
Oh, great.
And you start feeling like you have a sore throat, but you touch your throat and there's no swelling, which means there is no sore throat. Your heart starts racing as well, and that's another symptom. And then you get shortness of breath, which is another symptom. So anxiety, you know, kind of mimics the symptoms as well. So trying to keep calm is another thing, which I've been doing a lot of meditation, and there's a lot of YouTube channels, but I use Michelle's Sanctuary on YouTube. She has amazing meditation techniques, and they're guided meditation, so you can listen to it for like, I think she has 30 minutes and an hour. And you just center yourself and you kind of just bring yourself back to normal.
And that's what you've been doing? You just been meditating?
Yep. I've had nights where I feel like I have a fever, but I you know, I'm touching my face and nothing. Like I don't feel the warmthness, and then I just start calming down and the symptoms go away.
Well, I'm glad that's working for you.
It's one thing I do, you know, like.
Right.
The other thing is, you know, even if I feel bad when I'm with the kids, it all goes away. So I know it's in part. It is the fact that I feel anxious and I'm just overthinking things and seeing too many negative things online.
Well, that's I'm glad that's working for you, because the only time I get that pissed off is when lazy people piss me off, which I'm really trying to control, like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And right now it's been kind of calm because I'm not having to deal with a lot of people that I work with. So I come from the industry, the club, bar, restaurant industry. So yeah, you definitely have a fair share of interesting people around you at times. Mm-hmm. So it's been a nice break from that, because I got laid off. We closed all our properties. We have two country bars and a sports bar, and I handle 99% of the promotions and marketing stuff. And when we closed, that was like back in March 15th. So I jumped on unemployment. Luckily, I was one of the very first to get on unemployment. So luckily that's been able to help, you know, during all this crap.
It's funny that you talk about people annoying you, because I get annoyed all the time when I go to screenings, because I get to hear all these people complaining about, oh, I didn't get to watch yesterday's screening, which was a press screening. And I'm just like, that's your biggest problem? The fact that you didn't watch it yesterday, a day in advance?
Or
people complain like, oh, there was no free popcorn and drinks. It's like, God, you're watching a movie for free. That's $20 that you're saving, you know?
No, that's why I stopped going to those things. I couldn't deal with the people anymore. Like, I can't. I think I haven't even posted it. It's a picture of my – let me point it out to you. The last movie, when my son was born, I used to go to the movies a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then – hold on. And I used to go to the movies a lot. And then I stopped going because of people started annoying me. Because of the entitlement that some of these people felt they had by going to these movies. And then I stopped going. And then the last movie I saw was January, February, March. March 3rd, 2019, Maddox and I were at Dave & Buster's, and we walked over to the movie theater, and Spider-Man, the what was it, the Universe? What is it, the Spideyverse? The recent movie. The really good one, the animated one.
Yeah, with Miles Morales.
There you go. And he and I went and saw that. And that's the last movie I saw. I would go to the movies. As soon as my wife got pregnant, I stopped going to the movies. And then he was, what, almost four or five years old? And when we finally went, and I haven't been back since. I just watch all my stuff on TV. But
you were smart about it, because you would go to matinees and you hardly see anybody there.
That's the best way to go. I don't care. I'd rather go to the matinees and... or try to find the 2 for Tuesday. I don't know. People just and it's only getting worse. It sucks. And speaking of movies, can we talk about the movie we watched last night?
Let's go for it. The Velocipaster.
People, you're probably hold on. Let's set it up, because people don't know that you and I talked yesterday to set this whole little podcast up. And you hit me up. You were first of all, we were supposed to do this on Saturday, but you sold me out.
And I had stuff to do with the kids.
And then then he hits me up about 4 o'clock. It's like, hey, Mike, yo, what's up? Are you ready? And I'm like, no, we're about to get ready for dinner. And what happened to you? So then we rescheduled it for today. And then I was like, well, before you go, I had been looking at an Instagram friend of mine. Let me pull up his account. Where is he at? He actually posted up a picture. Oh, I can't find it fast enough. Hold on. And he posted up a picture. And hold on. Let me find him here. And he caught my eye. Let's see, where is he at? Hold on. Let me see. Gab. There he is. It's Gabba_Ghoul. His name's Dave. And we're Instagram buddies, and he had posted something on his Instagram a day ago, and it said, it was a meme. It said, and on the top it said, the perfect movie doesn't exist, and then you see the dash, and then all of a sudden you see the image, the Velocipaster, 2019. Yeah. And let me read you. After losing his parents, a priest travels to China. We inherit a mysterious ability that allows him to turn into a dinosaur. At first, horrified by this new power, a prostitute convinces him to use it to fight crime, period, and ninjas. And so when he posted this, he said he had posted it, and it was a reshare, and he put it on the, he put somebody watch this and report back. So immediately when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, we got to watch this. So I immediately Googled it, found out that it was free. It's free on Vudu, and it's free on Tubi. And then you can watch it on YouTube and Google Play and Amazon Prime for like $3.99. And then when you said, hey, I was like, dude, if we're going to do this podcast, let's watch this movie together. And at least we'll have this to talk about. Because honestly, between you and I heard that these podcasts you're starting, there's no really structure. It's just pretty much people talking. That's what you do. And so I was like, well, can we just at least talk about this movie? And that is how it got set up. The Velasa Pastor. It's a horror comedy. It came out, according to Google, in 2017. What were you going to ask me? I need to know.
Why? My question was why, but you kind of answered that. And I've been to indie movies, and, you know, I watched all these movies. I remember watching this movie in February, actually. I thought it was late last year, but it actually was February when it was in a film festival here in California, and it won an award.
Really?
Yes, for, I think it was one of the best horror indies on the festival.
Right.
Which I can see why. I mean, it's creative. It's an interesting story. I just, it was a little bit difficult to watch.
I think when I tweeted you like 12 minutes into it saying, holy crap, this is really hard to watch because it was just so bad.
It was all over the place.
I was like, especially in the beginning, people, for those of you that have watched it already, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, literally the first 10 minutes of the movie when the priest loses his parents. His parents are sitting in front of the church. A car explodes. And instead of seeing fire, you see the words, insert special effects, fire burning. And at first, I literally stopped. I rewound it. I'm like, am I watching the right version? Is this, am I watching like a how to make a movie? And sure enough, they, I guess, didn't have the the special effects to put that in there. And this whole movie was just, I mean, the killings when they rip the guys, when the priest rips off his head and it's literally a mannequin head. Oh my, the dinosaur itself, when he turns into the dinosaur, it got more horrible, but then it got, I watched it. Like it was like a train wreck. I couldn't keep my eyes off. I was like, I need to know if he's going to kill the main ninja guy.
It was entertaining.
It was hella entertaining. It was just really, I think if I would have been known, like if you would have saw it and you would have, I know you saw it in February, but if you would have said, hey, Mike, be prepared. It's not Oscar winning. It's almost like a trauma film, you know?
Yes.
And so if you would have said that, I'd have been like, okay. But I was going in, I knew the dinosaur was going to be iffy and I knew the ninjas, but I didn't know it was going to be this over the top. And like I posted it back on Gabagool's Instagram. I think I would have loved to. I don't know how they kept a straight face during the making of this movie. And it was so crazy funny. Like, I just couldn't. But, you know, it was only an hour and 10 minutes. You know,
yeah.
So it's a quick watch, people. And it's free. You can watch it free on Vudu or Tubi, or you can pay the $3.99. I'm looking at Google. It says the budget was only $35,000.
Yeah, I think for an indie film, it does what it needs to. It entertains, and it keeps you occupied for about an hour and 10 minutes. And I think people should watch it because this will give the opportunity for the filmmakers to make something, you know, in the future.
Yeah, because people on Twitter, because I went on Twitter, I did the hashtag, I went on there, and people were feeling the same way. They were like, oh my God, it's so bad, but it's so awesome. And everybody was, I mean, because it's just, oh my gosh, if you haven't seen it, I'm looking at the Google reviews. It's 441 ratings, a crap load of a five star, some four, some three, couple of one, but everybody seems to, if you want to pass the quarantine life, watch something, definitely check it out. I it's so I can't even explain it.
Yeah, I mean, and if they did this for $35,000, imagine what they could do with an actual budget. I mean, this was creative, even though I have no idea where the hell the ninjas came from.
The ninjas were in China.
Yeah, but they just show up out of nowhere.
That was, and they were all white dudes.
Yeah.
I was like, all the white dudes are all ninjas. They're all, yeah, except one Asian guy, which is the main bad guy. Yeah, it was, dude, what about that that flashback to the war?
I couldn't even tell it was flashback. I'm like, where did this come from? And then I'm like, and then I figured out after a while, oh, this is supposed to be a flashback. Got it.
Yeah, dude, when that lady, when his wife stepped on that landmine and I literally was like, what the fuck just happened here? Like, this was, yeah, it's crazy, people. So if you get a chance.
One of my favorite lines from that movie is when he gets to China, he's like, oh, so China is in the East.
Yeah, dude, it was, yeah, there's some one-liners in there that you're just, yeah.
I thought they were fabulous.
Yeah, that sex scene was interesting. I've never seen a sex scene like that. As soon as they did it, I was like, ooh, they're going to get it on. Okay, cool. And then it got into this retro thing, and yeah, it was crazy. It's a crazy, interesting, fun, horrible, can't take my eyes off of it, funny, entertaining movie.
Yep.
There you go. So yeah, it was interesting. But yeah, check it out, people, when you, if you get a chance. I think on Twitter, they're the Velassa Pastor on Twitter. Instagram is the Velassa Pastor. Facebook, same thing. And then YouTube. Just Google it. You will not be disappointed.
Definitely not disappointed.
All right. So yeah.
Is there anything else you've been watching?
You know, I've been watching a lot of Netflix. Please tell me you watched Tiger King. Did you watch Tiger King?
I just didn't watch that last episode that came, you know, what was it, like a month after it was released?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. It's still on my queue, but I haven't done it. Let me see. I'm looking at my Netflix account right now, since really there's no structure to this. We could just have fun. Let's see here. Where is my watching activity? Hold on. Activity. Where the hell do I click on to show you what I've watched? Recent device streaming activity. All right. So, nope, that's not it. but no, I've been, where the fudge is it? Hold on. Profile Prime.
Have you seen a series of unfortunate events, Netflix original?
I haven't seen that, no.
I started watching it, I think it was like last week, and my nephews really got into it because of the theme song.
Uh-huh.
And we kept on watching it. We finally finished it. It's actually really good. And I got to say, Neil Patrick Harris is amazing as Count Olaf, the main villain.
Uh-huh.
And the kids are adorable, and you're rooting for them even though all this crazy stuff is happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend it. It's definitely something that's going to keep you occupied and entertained, and it's funny and it's sad and it's just everything, and you could watch it with your kids.
Really? Okay. Right now my Maddox is definitely watching anything that talks, any animals that talk, that's what he goes for. So I'll try that. Right now on my shelf, I have the Bad Boys for Life and the Birds of Prey, the Harley Quinn one. Recently, I watched, which I thought was great, the Peanut Butter Falcon. Did you see that one?
I did not.
Oh,
what's that one?
Dude, Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson, and I cannot remember the kid's name. Dude, you got to watch it. Oh, I'm looking right here. He goes by Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson. Where's, they don't even have his name on here? They need his name. But this is a great movie. I recently watched The Grudge, the newest one, the 2021. Did you see that one?
I did. It was interesting. It's not the original, but it is. I think
it was
It was different.
I don't know if better is the word, but it's definitely something you need to watch to appreciate.
Right. Let me see what else have I watched on streaming. I finished, which I loved, Afterlife, Ricky Gervais.
I haven't seen it, but
you haven't seen any of those?
It's in my queue.
My God, what is wrong with you? Let's see here.
I tend to watch a lot of these foreign dubbed movies. And
yeah, and maybe that's why you're having a little problem with the anxiety as you're watching crappy crap. we just finished Waco.
Oh, Waco was awesome.
Did you watch
Waco? Was good, and but, definitely made me look at the government once again, like, what? Come on, guys.
Yeah, you definitely, you're rooting for the government first, and then all of a sudden, I think it gets to episode two?
You're only rooting for the government because you like the negotiator. What's his face? Michael Shannon.
Yes.
And then, of course, John Leguizamo. You know, I like the government because of them. Everybody else was, God, it was bad. That whole thing went, and I remember when it went to shit. I was old enough, and then when you see this, you're like, God, you really goofed up. I'm still watching Stranger Things. Ozark was dope. Have you watched Ozark?
I have not seen Ozark.
Watch Ozark. Start that crap today.
That one was one of the series that everybody was so hyped up about, and I'm like, I'm going to be disappointed because I have all these expectations of it.
No, watch Ozark. Probably one of the best series besides Afterlife on Netflix. I'm telling you. Afterlife? Yeah, it is dope. I'm trying to think what else I've been watching. Definitely TV stuff. I recently started The Woo Assassins on Netflix. Still watching that. The Chef Show is another thing that I've been watching. I started Black Mirror. You saw my tweet when I watched the first episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah. Which was cool. I think it's a fascinating series, and you need to watch it. It's very dystopian, but at the same time, you kind of get a little bit of hope because you're watching this and you're hoping people learn and, you know, find some sort of silver lining to it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely different. I mean, I only watched the first episode because I was like, oh, damn, I'm going to have to think. I can't, like, you can't, like, put on that. You can't put on Black Mirror at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to think. Because as soon as I started watching it, I got into it. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm starting this thing way too late. I'm going to wind up. But, no, definitely good. Something I'm watching on Apple TV is The Servant. M. Night Shyamalan. Did you watch that yet?
I haven't seen The Servant. I watched...
You would like it.
I watched Home Before Dark, which is an amazing little series. My nephews got into it too. It's about a young girl who's a journalist who uncovers a secret for her town and, you know, keeps on investigating while everybody else is trying to stand in her way. Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah.
If you watch it with the kids, I'm sure they'll get into it too. Both of my nephews were constantly asking questions and...
Yeah, but how old are yours again?
7 and 10.
Yeah, see, mine are, no, that's not going to happen. That's if there's not a talking dog or a talking monkey or any of that stuff, yeah, you're not going to. Like, Jax won't even, no, I try. I just recently got them hooked on, like, Tom and Jerry. Like, I'll put the channel, the Boomerang channel on TV, and it's, like, nothing but Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry, old school. And they're getting into that. But anything else? Yeah.
HBO Max is bringing back Looney Tunes. There's going to be new Looney Tunes cartoons coming out that are very much like the old school ones that, you know, came out. And
but they're not going to be as violent as when we used to watch them.
Not as well.
What's the point? My kids are going to watch Looney Tunes and Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. We got to see the originals when violence on cartoons was a good thing.
It's not as much violence, but there's still all that craziness that Bugs Bunny used to do, and it does very much mirror the original one.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the only way that I would even consider HBO, what is it, Max?
Yes.
Because it seems like it's showing the same movies, but no, I want to see the Zack Snyder version of the Justice League.
That is the only thing so far that I want to jump on. Because it's coming there. Other than that, I haven't been sold yet. Right now, I got, what, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Disney, and Apple TV. That's a lot of crap.
It is. I don't know. I kind of want HBO Max just because it has a lot of stuff coming to it. I know I just got pitched something else, which I can't remember the title of, that it really caught my eye, and it seems like they're going to have a lot of big stars coming onto HBO Max.
Oh, really?
But then again, Apple TV Plus kind of pitched the same way with, you know, oh, all the best filmmakers are going to be doing stuff for Apple TV Plus, and so far, it's been hit and miss. I don't know if you've seen Dickinson on Apple TV, but I really don't like it.
I want to. I like what's her name? Haley. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Bumblebee.
I have no complaints about the actors. The actors did phenomenal. It's just the way that the story goes. Like, they try to modernize it way too much, and I can't get through it.
Yeah, I know. And that's probably one of my things I want to watch. I want to finish Servant, and I definitely want to finish. I want to start that Chris Evans. What is it? Defending something? Oh, God, I can't remember. But that looks good. Maybe look into yours. And then that, I definitely wanted to check out that Dickinson. But no, I agree with you. I think when Apple TV came out, there was a big hype for it.
Yeah.
That everyone was going to come in. But right now, personally, I think Netflix is like crushing it.
I think Netflix has had a lot more time to get things right.
Right.
I agree. I mean, I think Disney Plus is starting to come. When I got it, I was like, this is a lot of the stuff. There wasn't a lot of an original stuff that I was feeling, but now I think watching it more, I think it's like The Mandalorian. I'm sure you watched that, right?
I did, and I thought that it did fantastic. It's amazing how much more attention it got than the latest Star Wars movie.
For sure. So, I'm looking forward to watching some stuff on Disney. I mean, the boys, they know Disney. You know, so, but I'm just waiting for Maddox to get a little bit older so he'll start watching more movies.
The only thing I don't like about Disney Plus is the fact that they edited down The Simpsons. I watched the entire Simpsons series on there already. And there's episodes that I'm like, there's stuff cut out of this.
They did that. I think they did that with one of the, they recently did that with one of the movies. I can't remember what it was, but I saw somebody, they said something about it, and Disney went in there and chopped it. And yeah. And I think what sucks is Disney's ever going to put a rated R. They're not going to, I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, it's not something it's not my first choice to go to. Netflix is usually my first choice. But now that I found out they had the Velasa Pastor on Vudu, I saw a bunch of other crazy stuff that was on there for free. I might have to start going to Vudu now.
Oh, I've been watching Vudu free with ad stuff for a while now. There's a lot of actors that I support that have a lot of free content on there. And, you know, I try to post about it as much as possible. I know actress Kate Tumanova is the star of American Exorcist. If you get a chance, watch it. It's kind of like the Velocipaster, but better. It'll keep you more entertained.
American Exorcist?
Yes.
All right. Like American Ninja, but American Exorcist?
Yes.
Okay.
Either American Exorcist or American Exorcism.
Okay.
I know I posted about it on my Instagram, so check it out. It's a good watch. I've seen it like about 3 times, and it's fascinating to me. It's a different take on exorcisms.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely check it out. All right. Anything else?
I think I'm good. I think we've gone way past the hour mark, but that's fine.
Actually, we've done 39 minutes, but I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. So thanks for joining me, Mike. It's always fun. I think we haven't done a podcast since your kid's been born.
That is true, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we used to podcast weekly.
Because a lot of people don't know me. You and I did a lot together. We did Arrow. We did True Detective. All these recap shows.
Did you hear that Hannibal's coming to Netflix?
No.
Yep, the entire series is going to be on Netflix to watch again.
Oh, well, I mean, I want a new. Like, I was so sad when they canceled that. Like, I loved Hannibal, just everything about it. I probably, that's putting salt on a wound. That's like, honestly, I haven't finished watching Arrow because it'll go away. Supernatural, I stopped watching. I'm going to watch it because those are my shows, but yeah. There's a part, the originals, I think I still have like 3 episodes. Gotham, I think I have like 5 episodes because I know that once I watch them, it's weird. I know. I watch it, they're completely, it's done. And so technically those shows are still around, you know? So, a lot of people don't know that you and I think that was the last that we did it. We did was before, what are they? Did they catch something on fire? Did they catch something on fire? That's a fire alarm. All right, I got to go now because something's going on here in my house. So cool. It's a pleasure, Jesus, and you and I, can we do this next weekend?
We could do it next weekend again.
Cool. All right, I got to go because there's a fire alarm going on, but it's not a fire. So I don't know what my kids are doing. I got to go.
So my final words and Mike handles what's going on in his house. One of the main things I try to provide for family and friends when they believe they're going through stuff is support. Support by talking to them through an anxiety attack. Support by staying there when it seems like everybody around them is leaving. Support by not judging them for falling apart, because we all fall apart sometimes. When people with anxiety feel alone, they don't feel like they can ask anyone to be there or for help. Although they want to yell for someone to be there, they don't always have the healthiest of mental states to ask for help. So this situation, which leaves a person feeling alone, also leaves them feeling like a bother, thus making the problem an endless downward spiral. It's difficult for someone outside of the situation to find a way to help. It's a frustrating situation. Anxiety and depression go hand in hand, and it sucks. I know I sit up late at night wondering how I get through the day. I know I wish I could have a healthy release for everything that I feel. That's the crazy part. To me, and probably anyone who knows me or thinks they do, I'm usually emotionless. I don't show my emotions. I don't talk about my emotions with mostly anyone. And yet sometimes they seem to be an abundance of emotions there. And it overwhelms me. Maybe that's what keeps me from showing them. Maybe that's a part of what everyone's dealing with. We do not understand how to not be overwhelmed by these emotions. So my suggestion, a suggestion from somebody who isn't a mental health professional, but is dealing with it on a daily basis and struggles with it constantly. So maybe you out there can help me figure it out and try to help others by discussing it. Don't place them into one label or category. Try not to give advice. Just listen, support, and give room to have a discussion that may or may not be logical or make sense to you. Anxiety and depression are not always logical. It doesn't have to be. You can be different. You can think differently. Your logic may not be somebody else's logic. Your truth may not be somebody else's truth. Your desires may not be somebody else's desires, and that's fine. We're all different. We're all dealing. We're all coping. We're all trying to be as happy as we possibly can. Even if we don't show it, even if we don't smile all the time, we don't have to. It's not what we are designed to do most of the time. We are designed to feel different emotions. We're designed to be happy, angry, sad, proud, jealous, all these emotions. We are complex creatures. We are complex people. We have personalities and we have ups and downs. As always, my social media is open to all, and I'll put it on the description, my email as well, and that will be in the description below. Reach out if you need to, and I will try to provide anything I can, whether it's pointing you in the right direction of how to get help or just listening. find your way to get through the day. There's people who need you and who love you. And let's talk again soon.